Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Okay. Yodelay hee-hoo. I'm just testing my mic out, and I was yodeling, and that was seemed to be fun, so I thought I'd share that a little bit with you. Okay, so today we are going to talk about why I love CBT. And I'm not talking about, although I am a fan of cognitive behavioral therapy, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cockball torture. Yeah, baby. Let's slap that bad boy around. All right. So what I wanted to share with you is on Friday, you know, last Friday, I was recording with one of my little subbies, CBT 101. And going into the like all the different ways and how to do it safely. And it was, first of all, a lot of fun and very educational for those. If you're like, ooh, I want to learn about CBT 101, you can join my BDSM membership, or you can find it, or it'll be out on my loyal fans page. Okay. That's where you can find that recording. So, but what I wanted to share with you today is what it started to activate for me and my journey with CBT and why I enjoy doing it and what little thing, a new thing that came out while I was recording CBT 101 that really I wanted to share. So let's take you back. Actually, before I take you back. So I'm in the dungeon. I got my subby. We've been doing all these different, you know, stepping on cages, clamps, different kinds, you know, hitting the testicles, what tusk can handle, what the, you know, cock can handle, what cock can handle soft, what the cock can handle hard. And so, you know, I was taking through the sequence of, okay, like, how do we kick somebody? Because that's one of the, you know, in the world of CBT, it's, you know, a very popular one of wanting to be kicked in the balls. And, you know, how do we do it safely? Because what porn shows you is not safe. So how do you do it safely? And so what was happening is, so as I was, you know, different positions and, you know, so I had my little subby, my demo subby there up against the cross facing me. And I, you know, and I got my chain, so I got stability so I can get my leg pretty high and, you know, do different kinds of kicking. And all of my years of being a soccer player actually comes really handy into this world of CBT. I can kick with precision. Right. And what was happening that I found really fascinating that was when I asked my, you know, when I asked the demo dolly and my subby, like, you know, what is he enjoying about being kicked? And he's like, it's like being kicked. He's like, it's like being kicked by a really cute girl, as like, you know, when you were young. And I was like, oh, and it was like, it activated something inside me. So all of a sudden I kind of drop in and I'm like, yeah, that's for kicking. I'm kicking you in the balls because I told you to stop staring at my boobs, you jerk. And like I kind of dropped into the, I dropped into that teenage girl version of myself, or the younger version of myself. And it was hot because it's like I'm not, and I'm going to talk about why that became so hot for me. And then I showed about, okay, well, kneeing, how to knee. And so like I grab him by the shoulders and I like knee him. And of course I don't make full contact because that's dangerous and hurtful and all the things. But just the act of like grabbing him by the shoulders and kneeing him in the crotch, and to be like, yeah, and you shouldn't be such a jerk face. And like there was this like really fun aspect and arousal response that kind of happened out of that, that I was like, oh, this is very interesting. I look forward to kind of diving into that and exploring that further, with some of my subbies that want to play some of those role-playing games with me. I think that's going to be fun. It's not going to be hard for me to remember the how many boys annoyed me when I was young last. I won't have to dig deep to find that character, basically. So I think for me, because so like when I okay, so that's what happened, and I realized I'm like, oh, that kind of turned me on, and that's kind of hot, and I look forward to exploring more of that. Now let's talk about why. Why did that turn me on? Why did I have such a visceral arousal response to not just kicking but kneeing, but the also from that place of like, yeah, you deserve it, you jerk face. I told you not to do that, but you didn't listen. And so it was really interesting that after we had done the filming, I was checking in with my subby, and what would he really enjoy, and what aspects did he enjoy, and what aspects that turned him on, because there's a lot of new things he'd never experienced before. And one of the things he had talked about is like really liking me kneeing him in the groin, and in the balls, and kicking him, and then him not being able allowed to protect himself. And he was such a good subby. I didn't even have to tie his hands. He was like, and for him, it was this beautiful place of like, I am yours to do whatever you wish with me. I trust you won't injure me. And so I'm going to override my natural instincts of survival mechanisms of to protect the jewels at all cost. Right? Like this is a, it's kind of like a, it's a reflect, it's a reactive self-preservation motion, not to grab my leg, not to interfere, not to even put his hands from his sides to cover his penis and his genitals, or even to push, to move back. Like he was like, and so for him, this, it was like the one of the ultimate in surrendering to me, in that he had to go against his own internal instincts, and because he really likes being a good boy. And so he got lots of good boys because he was a very good boy. And so he override that. And for him, that was what was hot about it. It was hot that he managed to first of all do what he was told, and to not protect himself when naturally his instinct was to do so. So I was like, oh, that's super hot too. I'm like, yeah, that's another level of like, wow, that's ultimate submission and surrender to me, which again is always super fucking hot. So I told him about for me and how, as a young girl, I wasn't allowed to go around kicking boys in the balls or kneeing in the balls, even when they deserved it. I wasn't allowed to do that. And so being able to, in a consensual environment, be able to, to do that, it's like overriding my wiring as a young girl that was systematically punished for that behavior. And so being able to do it is such a mind fuck for me. And being like, yeah, you're not the boss of me. And so like, it activates this like piece that I wasn't allowed to activate when I was younger. So that's, so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about why. So as a young lass, I wasn't a very, how do I want to put this? I wasn't a very tamed young lady. You wouldn't call me a lady in any capacity whatsoever. And despite how much my grandparents and some of the other adults in my life wanted to tame me, and get me to act like a proper lady, it didn't really work out so well for them. Just visualize me. I was hardcore. First of all, I was a hardcore tomboy. That's what we called us back then. I was alpha, so I ran with a bunch of boys, right? I was the ringleader of the hooligans in the neighborhood, the boy hooligans in the neighborhood. I was, as you can see, I was kind of destined to be a dominatrix. You couldn't keep, if you got me into a dress, you couldn't keep me out of like, climbing trees. And there you'd see me in this like, yellow taffeta, fluffy dress. And you couldn't, adults are like, calling me and they couldn't find me. And where would I be? I'd be up like I would be up in a tree or I'd be standing in the middle of a pond, soaking wet, covered in mud, catching frogs or crayfish, or just to give you a framework of what young me looked like. And so as I started to, it was very interesting, as I and there was in my household, my mother was very she very much was like, if somebody hits you, you can hit them back. Right? So, and because I spent time with, the other thing is too, is I spent time running with a pack of boys. Boys, when they were upset, they acted out in violence. They hit somebody, they punched somebody, they all those things. And so if I'm going to be one of the boys, I behave the same way. And then all of a sudden, I started to get boobs. Now, and the boys were starting to get hormonal. And so now all those boys that were my equal, now the dynamics change, right? And there was nothing wrong with me, punching them in the face before if they annoyed me, because that's how we rolled as boys. We hung out, that's how we did things, right? And so now they started getting bigger. The boys were bigger, they were stronger, they were taller. So I remember being like, setting, and of course there was this whole thing of like, now they started to feel lustful towards me, and me setting parameters and boundaries that weren't being respected, because they liked me, and because we grew up in a culture and society where if you liked a girl, you pulled her hair, or you liked you bugged her or whatever, like instead of just being like, hey, I like you. My generation did some really fucked up shit. So anyways, so I would have these boys and they would like irritate me, and they would, disrespect my boundaries, and maybe grab my boobs or do something inappropriate even though I told them not to. And so it was always like there was always this first warning. I was like, I wouldn't do that. And then they would continue to do the thing, and then I found, punching them didn't have an effect anymore. So I was like, oh, well, I'll kick you in the balls, or I'll knee in the balls, or slap you in the balls, and that would end of the thing. And they would drop down, and they'd drop. It was painful and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, all right, I made my mission. My mission, my message has been received, which is don't fucking do that shit. Whatever it was, I told you not to do that shit. You did not listen. So here's consequences. But instead of it being like, hey, we all need to have sit, you know, instead of the adults sitting us down, right, which would have been the appropriate response, and saying, hey, you know, you can't treat her, behave that way to the boys, and for me to be like, and for them to be like, and you can't go around hitting people in the genitals. It's incredibly, incredibly painful. Right? That should have been the conversation. That should have been the conversation with the adults with the situation. But that's not the conversation that happened. What ended up happening was I got in trouble. I got punished. The boys didn't get any consequences. They didn't even get a, like, you shouldn't have done that in the first place. She said no. You didn't respect her, no. So it really sent this really strong message to me as a young girl that, first of all, that, it's not okay to defend myself was one of the messages. There's consequences for defending yourself. Two, my body and my being isn't necessarily, it's not important to respect it because, you know, the adults were saying it's not okay for me to physically violate a boy, but it's okay for them to physically violate my body. Which again was a very fucked up message. Now, instead of us going into deeper into why and how and all the things, that's irrelevant in this conversation. I just wanted to, so this is why. So then I got programmed very, very clearly. Like it was very clear. You do not, no matter how much you want to or how much they deserve it, you do not hit any boys in the genitals ever, no matter what. And so part of that imprinting, I mean, I also really love cock and I worship cock and I, you know, it's, you know, it became like a place, you know, penis and testicles and pleasure and cock was just like became a very lovely place that I wouldn't even contemplate hitting it. Because I worshiped it. And between the worshiping part and the, you know, programming early in my life, programming that you don't hit it, the idea of hitting it was mortifying. And I remember being the, I was in school and around being a sexual wellness specialist, being a sex coach, and we were shown a bunch of different kinds of porn. That was to kind of help us, you know, to one, acknowledge where our judgments live, and two, to basically let go of our any shame or judgment or fear or whatever reaction we would have to things so that we could hold space for clients. And so it was interesting. They showed all sorts of different kinds of porn, BDSM, kink, all sorts of different kinds of porn, pussy torture, you name it, furries, all of it. I was just like, ah. And then there was this one scene where there was some CBT going on, and I was mortified. I've come a long way, by the way. That was like 15 years ago. So I was absolutely mortified. I was like, oh my God, how could you hurt the cock like that? But you could clearly see in the video that the dude was like loving it. But because of my own stuff, I couldn't really, you know, I was like, oh, so I had to, you know, work on my shit and heal my shit and all those things. And then one of my lovers was like, hit my penis. I was like, what? Oh. His name was Lady Buddy. I haven't talked about him in a while. If you go through my past podcasts, technically Lady Buddy is my husband. Right. So he introduced me to, I remember being like, he's like, hit my penis. I was like, no, it's sacrilegious. I can't do that. And then I remember I hit it once and then he enjoyed it. And then I hit it again. And then by the fifth time, I was like, all in. Hey, oh my God, this is fun. Slap, slap, slap. And he's like, ah. And I'm like, slap. And I'm laughing and I'm like, oh, this is fun. And so that started my journey down the road of CBT. And there's just like other layers. There's so many layers to this that I'm really excited to, I have some current subbies in my dungeon, clients that are really into CBT. And so I'm excited to see, all right, all the different ways that I can, we can explore, CBT and cockball torture and both from the physical sense, but the psychological sense and the control and the power exchange and all these beautiful things. And I'm excited to see how that, how I evolve in my sexual exploration with CBT as I continue this journey. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that, from, going from that girl who was like programmed from, society to say, you never ever do that, no matter what, to being the one that gets paid to do that and love it, and help other people embrace it and do it safely and in from the realm of education, but also from the play aspect of it. I just wanted to share, the evolution. That's the beautiful thing about sexuality, which is why I love sexuality so much, is that just one particular kink act or sexual act can have so many different layers of why does that arouse you and why does that turn you on and why does that excite you. And for me, with my background of psychology and a deep understanding of human sexuality and combine those two, I get to like, really continue to explore not only my own evolution of my sexuality, but supporting other people's evolution in their sexuality is like amazing. And it's like this beautiful, again, like often, and this happens often when I'm in the dungeon, I'm in the space with my client and we're exploring and we're exploring something new, and or even something that I've done a thousand times, but I've added a new component to it. It's always like so, it's always like this, like, oh my God, who knew that would turn me on? It's like I'm surprised every time. I'm like, wow. It's like I just found a treasure. It's like this new treasure of like arousal response. Woo, this is exciting. All right, let's dive deeper into that and see where that leads. And for me, ultimately, that is my kink. My ultimate kink is finding those moments that I didn't know would turn me on in a scene, in a situation, in a particular sexual act. It's like that is my ultimate kink, is that moment of that, ooh, who knew? Who knew? And then I'm like, oh, woohoo. All right, let's lean into that. Oh, that's exciting. And I get so fucking horny. I get so fucking horny from those moments. And then those moments, which is why I'm always, when I always sign out, I'm like, stay in that place of curiosity. Okay. I just want to, again, remind you, this is why I say, stay in that place of curiosity. Keep expanding. I have a lot of sex. I've had a lot of sex. I've had a lot of wild, crazy, kinky, debaucherous sexual experiences. You would think that there would be no more surprises. And yet, there's always the possibility of something new. And the reason there's a possibility of something new is because I move with that place of curiosity. And so that's what I want to leave you with, is to move away from our preconceived sexual arousal responses. Right? And I talk a lot about this in many different episodes about orgasmic patterning and how that sets you up for kind of limits you and where you can experience things. And I talk about this lots. So if you're like, oh, I want to know more, go listen to a bunch of episodes where I cover orgasmic patterning and how we our abilities to have epic sex versus just good sex to mediocre sex to bad sex has everything to do with us continually expanding and growing our sexual expression. And we only can do that when we're curious, when we don't have, this is how this has to happen, right? Like, I know X, Y, and Z will get me off. And X, Y, and Z will always get me off. But X, Y, and Z is great, but there's all these other alphabet letters that you're missing. And you don't know that X, Y, and Z and a B and an F could be the next epic experience that you didn't even know was possible. And so that's why I really lovingly invite you to start to move with your sexual evolution and your sexual development and your sexual arousal response from a place of curiosity. Watch something new, read something new, try something new, wear something new, add something new. Just tiny, it doesn't have to be like drastic. You can start baby steps. Just start with little things. And in those little things, that's like I said, I've kicked boys in the balls, grown up boys who would give me consent, by the way, for years now. So you would have thought that that statement or like the arousal of dropping into, yeah, I told you to stop looking at my boobs, jerk face, while I kicked them in the balls would give me an arousal response. However, it was only because the client or the subbie in that moment said that the reason he liked it was like this, it was like it was like this mean, cute girl, this good-looking cute girl, mean, kicking me in the balls. I was like, oh. So even though I've done that so many times, it's never activated that. It wasn't until that variable was dropped into that experience that allowed me to be like, oh. And then I dropped into it and I didn't make it right, didn't make it wrong. I didn't judge it. I was just curious. I was just like observationally curious about the experience. And so if you can, if you want to have the most amazing, epic sexuality, sexual experiences, sexual being possible, the key is curiosity. All right. If you're like, ooh, I want to get kicked in the balls by Empress Gaia, or I'd really like to kick my partner in the balls. Empress, can you help me and le learn how to do that properly? Reach out. You can always find me at empressgaia.com. Don't forget for to see that episode on CBT 101. You can go join my BDSM membership program, which is found on my website. You can find, or you can go to my loyal fans page, which the link should be in the show notes. For not only all my educational, kink 101s, but then all of my debaucherous porn, which is also incredibly educational and entertaining. And horny producing. All right. So until next time, stay kinky, stay horny, and of course, stay curious. All right. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? You know, I want to know. Because I'm a little bit of a voyeur, so I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners. Until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.